Good morning, it's grand to be on hand. Good morning, good morning.
Well, if you grew up in the Twin Cities or lived here during a certain era, you probably recognize that song. Anybody recognize it? Everybody's going, I don't want to raise my hand because it'll show my age. That was Boone and Erickson with their Good Morning song on WCCO radio. My father always had a little transistor radio there in the kitchen, and he'd have it on every morning, and we would hear that song, Good Morning, Good Morning. And it just lifted us up. It got us ready for the day. And whether you recognize that song or not, we all want to have a good morning, don't we? In fact, we want to have a great day. And Jesus showed us how to have a great day. We have a great day by living for Him. And this series that we're in is, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, Making Every Day a Great Day. And today, we're going to look at the second of the Beatitudes, because in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells us how to follow Him, how to have a great day. And last week, we started off, we're not taking the Beatitudes in order, but we heard the Beatitude that says, Happy are those who make peace. Happy are those who make peace. And today, we're going to look at verse 3, which is the very first of the Beatitudes. And here Jesus says, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the Beatitudes in Luke, he shortens that a little bit. He simply says, Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Well, how can being poor make for a great day? I mean, it's not the way we normally think, is it? How can being poor make for a great day? Well, you could ask Carson King, the Bush Light guy. Anybody hear about him? He's a young guy attending the Iowa State football game last month. And he made a sign, as you can see, and says, Bush Light Supply needs replenishing. And then he had his Venmo handle so people could make donations. And it made it on ESPN's game day, seen across the country, and the donations started pouring in. In the first hour, he got $400. And that's enough to buy 25 cases of Bush Light. Not exactly high-end stuff. $14.95 at Walmart, by the way. So this $400. Now, you could say for a young guy, I'm rich now. I'll just take this $400 and I've got beer to last me for a month. But he didn't do that. And I know his mom had a little help in this, and maybe his brother as well, but he decided that he'd keep just the $15 for one case, and he would give all the rest of it to the children's hospital that was next to the stadium. And the money started pouring in. And by the end of the month, he had $1 million. As of last week, he had $3 million. And he's given all but $15 of it away. You think he's having a great day? Be able to give $3 million to that children's hospital? Yeah, you bet. Blessed are the poor. But, you know, the billionaires want to get in on it too. I don't know if you've heard of the giving pledge. But this is a pledge that some of the richest people in the world have committed to. It's called the Giving Pledge. And People such as Bill and Melinda Gates, Warren Buffett, Mackenzie Bezos, who just got those billions of dollars from her divorce settlement, George Lucas, Elon Musk, there's 204 people who have signed the giving pledge, pledging to give away at least half of their billions of dollars before they die, or at least in their will. Some of them have committed to give away more than 90%. And this giving pledge has caught on because the billionaires want to be a part of the blessing of giving. But remember, Jesus didn't say, blessed are the billionaires. Oh, I'm sure they're blessed. I'm sure that they are having many blessings by giving their money away. And maybe we feel jealous and say, oh, I wish we had billions of dollars so that we could give it away. But Jesus didn't say, blessed are the billionaires. He said, blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. And that kind of generosity, the kind of generosity, whether you're Carson King or the billionaires, or whether you're even poorer than them, the kind of generosity that makes for a great day is not based on the amount that we have. In fact, the poor probably know the blessings of generosity even greater than those billionaires. Jesus points that out in Mark chapter 14. I'm just going to read a few of the verses. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put in and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put into the treasury more than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. The coin that widow put in, or those two coins, were leptons. They're the smallest of the coins at the time. I actually happened to have a lepton from the time of Jesus. And no, literally, this is from an archaeological excavation. You can kind of see. There's a penny, and there's a lepton. It really is tiny. Now, the Bible says it's worth a few cents. There's been inflation since then. And they say that a lepton, which is the name of those coins, a lepton is worth 1/128 of a typical laborer's wage. So if you kind of figure that off of minimum wage and calculate it, in today's dollars, it would be about 50 cents. So she had two of them. So she had a dollar. And you know, we're pretty careless with pennies. I've seen people actually get pennies for coins and just toss them in the parking lot because they didn't want to be bothered with them. But a lepton is not really a penny. It's more like a 50-cent piece. So you have two of them, you got a dollar. So she's down to her last dollar, and you can get something with a dollar. So I don't think that this woman was going there and, I got a couple of worthless pennies, I'll just toss them in. No, I think she knew exactly what she was doing. She knew that she had two leptons. She was a leptonaire rather than a billionaire. She knew that they were all that she had, and yet she gave. She gave it all. And I don't think it was an impulse thing. You don't give away all that you have. You don't give away your last dollar on an impulse. I think that she made an intentional plan, that she intended to give that. See, the kind of giving and generosity that is a blessing is intentional. She knew it was all that she had, and yet she gave it all. Great day generosity, this Jesus kind of generosity is intentional. Think about the best gift that you ever gave. Maybe it was a gift that when you were little, you gave to your mom. Maybe you saved up your pennies so you could buy something special for her. Or maybe you made it yourself. And you remember trying to keep it secret from her and putting that together so that she wouldn't know. Of course, she did know. You probably asked her for the stuff to put it together. But you had a plan. And you were going to bless her on her birthday or Christmas. Or maybe it was a wedding ring. Remember all that went into getting the wedding ring and the plans around that and perhaps saving up to make it happen to offer that gift. Or maybe it was even a gift here. Maybe you gave a gift to the campaign that renovated this building. And it might have been a significant gift, and it's one that you had to really think about and make a commitment to. Some of you are still paying on that gift. But think about the greatest gift you ever gave. It wasn't something that was just out of the blue, spur of the moment kind of thing. It was something that you planned for, you probably saved for. It was intentional. And the kind of giving, like that widow, is intentional. You know, that's really why we have those pledge cards. A pledge card's purpose is not really to create a budget or those kinds of things. Really, a pledge card is a way to make intentional our giving to God, to make that commitment, to make it a priority. You know that a good friend of mine, he remembers back to the example of his father. He grew up during the Depression, and his father had a bunch of envelopes there because there was never enough money. But there's an envelope that said heat, an envelope that said food. But the very top envelope said God. And he remembers the witness of his father, no matter what they had, always putting something in that God envelope first. He made a commitment. And that's kind of what pledge cards are for. There was a few years when my dad had trouble with pledge cards. I don't know exactly what it was, whether he was worried about his job, whether he'd be able to fulfill the pledge. They're not a legal binding thing. But it's either that or perhaps he thought, well, it'll be much more exciting to give spontaneously and spur of the moment or something. And I said, Dad, you're a planner. You plan everything you do. Why wouldn't you do it with your giving to God? Because you know you're going to give. It's where your heart is. Yeah, he started writing pledge cards again. Then the kind of generosity that makes for a great day is intentional. Like that poor widow. But another thing about that generosity is that it's not just intentional, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. That woman gave her last dollar. Dave Ramsey, who does the Financial Peace University, and if you haven't been a part of it, I'd encourage you to do that. I think we have another session in January. Kick that off. Dave Ramsey talks about outrageous generosity. And he says that you'll never have more fun with your money than outrageous generosity. You know, because really, think about it. The better the gift, the more we put into a gift, the better blessing we get out of giving it. There's a pastor in our conference. His name is Woo Jae-im. He grew up in South Korea. And many of the Methodist churches in Korea are very large. I believe the largest Methodist church in the world in South Korea. I know at one time it had over 250,000 members. So in these very large churches, one way in which they create more of a small church feel is that the ushers have a particular section. And there, as here, people tend to sit in the same section every time. And so the ushers sort of became like pastors to their area, and they would know everybody, and they'd take responsibility for that. And they noticed that in the offering plate that they passed out, there was always a crisp, brand new bill, never been circulated bill, worth about $10 and 10,000 won. And this bill was there, and then one Sunday it wasn't. But in its place was an old bill that had obviously been circulated, but it had been ironed so flat and crisp that it was like a brand new bill. And so Wujie was curious, and he asked the usher to find out, what's the story behind this? And so they did. And the person who gave it was a street vendor who sold vegetables. And she said, I usually go to the bank on Saturday to exchange my money for a brand new bill. But sometimes I don't sell my veggies until after the bank is closed. And then I go home and I get out my iron and I iron one of those bills so that I can give it on Sunday. Because I want to give God my very best. It gives me joy and satisfaction, she said, to give to God like this. It gives me joy to give to God like this, her very best. Every Sunday for her is a great day because she's able to give her best to God. See, that's outrageous giving, giving our very best, whether you be that widow or whether you be the street vendor. Great day, Jesus-like generosity is intentional and it's outrageous, but it's also God-like. It's God-like. Do you remember probably the most famous verse in all the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Generosity is at the heart of God. And so when we give like that widow, when we give intentionally, outrageously, we're also giving God-like. You know, God has given us so many things. We think of all the blessings we have in life. We think of creation itself. We'll talk about that a little bit next week. But the very best thing that God gave was himself in Jesus Christ. God gave his only Son for our sake, so that we might know God and so that we might live with God forever. When we give in Jesus-like generosity, we're actually following in the footsteps of a God who loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son for you. So, as you're thinking about how to have a great day, one of the ways to do it is to have great generosity. And that generosity is intentional, it is outrageous, and it's God-like. And it doesn't matter, you can be a billionaire or you can be a leptonaire. It really doesn't matter how much you have. God's gift is for each and every one of us. And we, each and every one of us, can follow in God's footsteps. So let us pray. God, sometimes we get jealous of billionaires or the people that come up with great ideas and suddenly find themselves with more money than they know what to do with. But you've given us, each of us, an opportunity. You said that widow who gave those two leptons, those two little coins, gave more than anyone else. Because she gave her all. She gave from her heart. So Lord, help us to to experience the blessings of generosity with our time, with the words that we share, with our finances and our material possessions. Help us to live generously after the example of Jesus. We pray for the resources for this church to do its ministry. We thank you for every person who's contributing to make that happen. And God, we thank you for, most of all, for Jesus, who gave his life for us. And in his name we pray. Amen.